Well, good morning. I hope Santa Claus was good to everybody. Get everything you want. Tough crowd. Maybe you got a few things you didn't want. I was watching the news this week, and they were talking about how many people will return gifts on an average year. It's like $2.8 billion to $3 billion of gift returns in the U.S. And December 26 is actually the second busiest shopping day of the entire year. And sometimes we all get those things that doesn't fit, not the right color, or that basically you just don't want for any reason. This was from my former employer. Anyone that has a tie like this, I'm sure it looks a lot better on you than it does on me. And it just happened to coincide with a new product line that had the exact same emblem. I looked, if I'd had a red nose, the ensemble would have been complete. And I had to wear it up in Boston in front of about 50,000, literally, nurses across the country that had come there. And so there's photographic evidence of this for all posterity. And I started thinking about all the things that we get that we really didn't want. And it reminded me of something I've had over the last couple of months that I got gave to me that I really didn't ask for. Some of y'all know this. I started a new job in November, got off the road after 6 years, and then I also was installed as pastor here in September. And now in my previous jobs for the last 8 years, I'm a nurse by trade, but I've either taught in a classroom, or I went from hospital to hospital as an educator for the different products my company sold. And so I was away from the bedside. I wasn't in one place. Even at Piedmont Tech, I went from hospital to hospital with different students. And I ended up getting an early Christmas present. Unfortunately, it was from Satan. It was doubt. I had a ton of doubt. And I've really been wrestling with it. There were times I didn't think that I was the shepherd y'all needed, because there are so many times, even now, I'll never have all the answers, but there were times like I was thinking, oh, Lord, these folks are putting their faith in me, and boy, they are in for a ride, I guess. And then I started this job at Greenville, and I thought, you know, I've been away for so long. So much has changed. You read articles, but it still isn't the same. And I think all of us kind of struggle with that sometimes. The devil he's very good at playing doubts in us. He's been doing that for a long, long time. He even started back in Genesis. Oh, right now I am, sorry, Suzanne. Fear. I need to leave this up to professionals. He started with Eve. And for the background, God had created both of them. These were two humans, Adam and Eve, that God walked with in person in the garden. They saw his magnificence firsthand. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like to actually walk with God in person? But Satan is a very smooth talker. He explained he played on Eve's vanity and that little seed of doubt. I think, for me personally, I think it's in every human that we doubt. And he was telling her, it's just, God don't want y'all to be on the same level as him. Because he knows y'all would just be all that in a bag of chips if you just ate of that fruit. Very smooth, very smooth. And he's even trying to make our Lord doubt. And y'all probably remember this. This was one of the temptations. Whenever Jesus went out into the wilderness, after he had been baptized by John the Baptist, he went out in the wilderness, stayed there 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no water. And he was made, and this is where his humanity really came out. Jesus was God in man form, but he's still a human. And Satan preyed on that as weakest. And he took him up and he told him, you know, if you are the Son of God, then you can fall from here. You can jump. Nothing will happen to you if you are the Son of God. Lucifer was an archangel. They passed each other in the office. They were up there. They saw each other in heaven. Throughout the New Testament, in the Gospels, every demon that Jesus came across recognized him. He even had to tell one to be quiet and not tell who he was. So Satan had instant recognition of him. And Satan is so smooth that he even used Bible verses. Right there, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you. And I never knew where that came from. I started looking it up for this sermon. That came from Psalm. Almost identical. He quoted this. But our Lord is such a powerful Savior. Satan is so cunning and so powerful, but our Lord is more powerful. He quotes Scripture, and he quotes a commandment. You shall not put the Lord thy God to the test. And it is, I've really been wrestling with this little gift that I didn't want. And I think we all wrestle with it, whether it's doubt, as like teenagers, like Braden and Parker and Lee and her friend, young men like Chandler. We all have doubts in our part, whatever part of life we're in. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can. I can't do this. We weren't made for it, but it's here. How many of God's plans for us have been derailed because I can't? I'm sure some in my life I'll hear about in the next. And I started going towards Scripture with it because doubt can be horrible on you. Negative feelings impact you physically. They can impact your GI system, disrupt your sleep, weight gain, high blood pressure, clinical depression. Can all come from these negative feelings. And we weren't made for that. But it took me, I'm still in the process, but I'm a lot better than I was. And I got some unexpected help from a little 82-year-old lady that acts younger than I do, Lisa's grandmama. I had talked to her, and anyone that's never met Ms. Maude Phillips, she is amazing. She's 82, looks like she's in her early 70s, late 60s, runs around, sews probably 10 hours a day. Or more. And she is a godly woman. She is. And Lisa started talking to her a little bit. And then I started getting texts. Yes, she texts. She has an iPhone. She texts and she uses emojis. And I got Bible verses with tons of emojis on them on Sundays before I went to preach. And she was just amazing because she knew right what to say. Kind of like Thomas on Wednesday nights. The Spirit will use you if you will let yourself be used. And this woman definitely does. First Sunday was this. Psalm 121, 2. And it just kind of stopped me. Okay, if he's for us, who can be against us? And then the next Sunday, it was Psalms 3, 5, and 6. And I recite this a lot. Because sometimes, and I don't know about y'all, I start thinking that I got it more figured out, that I got an understanding on this. Reality, I don't. Reality, none of us do. When our understanding pales in comparison to the Lord's understanding of his plan for us, if we'll just let him use us. And this little lady, she kept me going in front of y'all more Sundays than you realize. Because sometimes you can tell when I'm nervous, sometimes you can't. But whenever I get up here, it's always, use me, and I want to give the right words to y'all. And this last one from Romans, Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And these verses are just a sample. What's in our Word, what's in the Word of God. They're all there to help us through our troubled times, to help us through our good times, to give thanks, to help us through our bad times. Doubt, though, usually doesn't travel by itself. Where there's doubt, you begin to have fear. And I begin to have fear. Am I good enough to do this? And have y'all been in that spot before? Whether it's something minor or major, it's a new job, you started a new school, you think about going to college, you think about giving your life over to Christ. I don't know if I can do it. And then you start getting afraid. And they separate. We're kind of like a... Christians, believers, we're kind of like a flock. We're kind of like a flock of sheep. And doubt and fear, they separate us. And then they attack. They devour us at night. And fear is more disruptive than doubt on us and on our bodies. And if your body's under attack, your mind's under attack. You can't sleep, you can't think. You can't think, you can't reason. And then more negative emotions and more negative emotions. And before you know it, I mean, I've seen people that literally, they died from stress. There have been patients through the years that had relatively minor procedures, but they doubted, they feared. And your mind can kill you. It can kill you, it can disrupt you, it can separate you. And that's what Satan's end game is with all this, separation. We suffer when we're separated from God and from other believers. We're not meant to be in this alone. We're meant to be in it with God. We're also meant to be with each other. Because just like that flock, we're more powerful when we're together and stronger when we're together than when we are by ourselves. Because then we're vulnerable and we're easy to attack. We're meant to be together. Joshua 1:9 is one of my favorite verses. Be strong and courageous. And that's not easy to do. It's not easy to say the right thing, do the right thing sometimes. Psalm 23:4 is a beautiful verse. Most of the time we hear it at funerals, but it's a verse for life. Let the Lord be your shepherd. In Psalm 27:1, Lord is my light and salvation. Who do I fear? It is, and as I look through these, one thing that I'm struck with is that half these verses are written by one of the bravest men in the Bible, King David. He killed tens of thousands of people. His armies conquered. Israel was at the height of his power as far as conquering when he was king. He slew a giant. He killed a giant. And he's talking about fear. If he's afraid, it's okay for any of us to be, but it can lead to bad stuff. Lamentations is, I had never really looked in this book much, but that's a beautiful, beautiful verse there. That because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. He's with us, always. And as I was working through my doubt and fear, I discovered one last thing that came along that made the worst three-piece luggage set I've ever seen, anxiety. You doubt, you get afraid, you get anxious. And it, again, they prey like a pack of wolves. That we become anxious, and that anxiety, we begin to suspect everything around us. We don't look, we don't focus. We don't think. We revert back to our primal selves. We just look at what's in front of us, and we focus on basal survival. And we separate ourselves. When we have all three of these going on, we separate ourselves from where we need to be at. I started doubting my performance more, became fearful, and they all feed off each other. They become a cycle. And started looking up scripture about what the Bible says about doubt and fear and anxiety. And perfect? No. But I'm thinking the Lord's using this, these experiences in my life as a tool to help me get better at what I do. And I think we all go through these times where we have doubt and we have fear and we have anxiety. And it's a major thing, no matter what it is. It may be like getting something remodeled. It may be getting a car repaired when you don't have the money for it. It could be all these things that, how am I going to do this? And you're afraid because, I mean, I've been there. I've been there without two dimes to rub together and stuff break down. And it all makes these three things, doubt, fear, anxiety, and it separates us if we're not careful. In Philippians, looking what's behind us, forget that. And let's go on for what's ahead. Our end game is when we leave this world, we want to spend eternity with the Lord. Early sermon from Bill, and I remember hearing it, is that you're going to spend eternity one of two places. You will spend eternity in one of two places, with our Lord or an eternal damnation. Some pastors don't code, they like to sugarcoat and they don't like to say it, but you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. One of two places. You're going to have these are the tools that the devil uses to try and get you from God to cause you separation. And it doesn't matter what you have behind your name, in front of your name, any way that he can get in, he's going to get in. And he is going to use that to his advantage. We need to be baptized. Not with water, with the Holy Spirit. Water is good, but it's a representation. We need to turn our lives over and to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And sometimes, even after you do that, you forget about it. You kind of forget about it. You put it in the back burner or try and handle it yourself. And then you end up being doubtful, fearful, and anxious. And I can tell you from very personal experience over the last couple of months, that's not fun. That's not fun at all. And we weren't made to do that. We weren't made. The old person inside us can't handle it. And the new person inside us, we need help. We need the Word of God. We need prayer. We need that relationship. Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. I'm trying to send my unwanted gifts back. I know I'll see them again, though. We're human. We ebb and flow. Just remember, doubt never travels alone. It always travels with fear and anxiety. And the best medicine for it, promises found in God's Word, talking to God, be with other believers. And if you have not done it, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're not meant to go through this on our own, but the devil's going to try and pull you out by yourself and separate you. And if he gets that doubt on you, and it can happen to anybody, I have to be reminded constantly that by someone who shall remain nameless, that, when I started this job, I was nervous about talking with nurses. I've been in a hospital one way or another 27 years. Been a nurse for 14. My previous jobs, I talked with nurse managers, directors of nursing. But all that goes out the window. When you get that doubt on you, the doubt turns to fear, the fear to anxiety. What I should have done sooner was pray more, read more, because the answers are already here. They were already here. And it's an everyday struggle. And that's just sharing my story with y'all. And if there's anyone out there that is dealing with doubt right now, or fear or anxiety, or you're nervous about maybe plans that you have for the future, maybe something you're thinking about doing, I encourage you to pray about it. Lord, is this what you want from me? Use me as your hands and feet. Use me as your mouth. Because it may be something that seems really small or really like a long shot. You look at Ben Carson. Should Ben Carson, if you looked at him on paper, should he be where he's at right now? Ben Carson had everything against him. He had every reason to doubt. His mama raised a prayerful man and a godly man. God laid that on his heart, and he went against everything. If God's for you, he'll find a way to get you from point A to point B. And there may be somebody out there this morning, and it may be, I want to volunteer at a homeless shelter. I want to go back to school. I wanted to do this in my life, but I don't know. I don't know if I can. Pray. It don't have to be fancy. Lord, is this what you want in my life? If so, please help me. Guide my steps. Guide my words. Every morning, I pray for my words. God to guide my hands and my words. Some days better than others, but it's not his fault, it's mine. Sometimes the words come out kind of wrong, but we all need that. In a couple minutes, we're going to start the songs up, and the altar's going to be open. And I encourage anyone that has a need on their heart, please come up here. Question to ask. There's nobody better to ask than God. And let me get everyone to stand for me. We're going to pray, and then the altars be open and the songs be playing. Heavenly Father, just thank you for being our great shepherd. Father, this world, it seeks to separate us from you. The devil uses so many things to make us think you're not here or you don't care. You care about us. You have in your word, you will wipe every tear from our eyes. Your kingdom will be here on earth. We will be part of it if we just let Jesus into our hearts as our Lord and Savior and follow his commandments. Father, as we open these altars up to you, Father, we just ask that you listen. And you hear our words. And Father, we know that you are more than capable of meeting every need here, every name on that prayer list, their needs. Father, we know. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.